Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan, UVA Bookstores, CapTech Ventures, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, TheSaber.com, Virginia Athletics Foundation, Hildrup Moving and Storage, CNF Bank and CNF Investment Services, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel. Now, Who's Talking is on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, fellow Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood, and able research analyst, Michael Tusky. Well, UVA fans are wondering, what if, following the oh-so-close three-point loss down in Durham? As it is, the Wahoo basketball team's AP ranking, nevertheless, has risen to number 15 in the nation. UVA's Mike Scott is still hot as a firecracker. He scored 23 and had 9 rebounds against Duke last Thursday night. Now, if we can just get the guards to make a few three balls, who knows? Anyhow, tonight we'll analyze UVA basketball, UVA baseball, and we'll also look at football and basketball recruiting a little bit later in the show. We're glad that you've joined us.
That is indeed the case. This is Hobbo, otherwise known as Jim. Another really good show tonight. Frank sort of gave you a hint when he mentioned baseball. Our expectation is momentarily we will be joined by UVA head baseball coach Brian O'Connor on the eve of the Friday night Step Up to the Plate fundraiser, which Michael and I were told a little bit ago that Frank Maloney is going to. I hope that's not a – he's not going to take that out of the kitty, is he? But at any rate, that's always a terrific event, and I think they do that at John Paul Jones Arena, don't they?
They do. It's a wonderful event, and actually I'm a guest of the university in a media capacity.
Well, there you are. At any rate, after we visit with Coach O'Connor and preview not only the dinner on Friday night, but the upcoming baseball season, it'll be here before we know it. We will be joined at the bottom of the hour by a veteran sports writer who was also designated the Virginia Sports Writer of the Year, David Teal from the Daily Press down in the Tidewater area. And then, as Frank indicated, our frequent guest, Chris Horn, the Sabres recruiting expert, will join us to talk about any late news on the football front as well as basketball, given that Coach Bennett recently told us that he might even look for a fifth person to join his recruiting class before all is said and done. And speaking about Virginia basketball, a really big game tomorrow night, Mr. Maloney, what I would call a trap game. I'm worried about this game tomorrow night.
Me too.
Georgia Tech plays pretty well down there. Ironically, it's going to be played at Phillips Arena, where the ACC tournament will be played this year, so Virginia will get a chance to look at that. But Georgia Tech ends up playing all their home games at the facility where the tournament will be. Certainly advantage for them while Alexander Memorial Coliseum is renovated this year. But that game tips off at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I think it's the ACC Network, and as they say, check your local listings. But I think that's on Comcast here locally.
Probably a good chance there. Also, we know the WRVA, our sister station, 1140 a.m., will be carrying the game, so you can also listen to Dave Kane and Ted Jeffries.
That's absolutely the case. But at any rate, there are several ways you can follow the show, and Michael will describe that right now.
We encourage call-ins. Just dial 345-0910. Who's Talking is also streaming live on sportsradio910.com and thesaber.com. All of our previous shows are archived on thesaber.com. We encourage you to go onto Facebook, just search for Who's Talking, become a fan, and post comments. We also encourage listeners to download the iHeartRadio app to listen to the show live on your smartphone. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Just call us at 345-0910.
By the way, with regards to the iHeartRadio app, I've had a number of our fans let me know that that works beautifully, and they really enjoy it. It's very convenient, and it's free. So you can access any of the Clear Channel stations in the country, as well as Sports Radio 910, and you can tune in and listen to your favorite broadcast.
So, yeah, the amazing thing, if some of our listeners here locally are traveling, that's a good way of listening to the show. And, you know, even there are certain parts of the metropolitan area that after 6 o'clock, the 910 broadcast signal not quite as clear as some people would like, so iHeart's an option for that, too. But while we're waiting for Coach Connor, let's talk a little more about the Duke basketball game before we preview Georgia Tech. Certainly, you know, if we had it to play over again, we'd give Sammy Zaglinski a look at some of those jump shots that he had pretty good looks and not able to execute the other night.
You know, it seemed to me, and I noticed it at the very beginning of the game, he seemed jittery, and it's unlike him. He's usually a pretty cool customer. His dribbling was not smooth at the start of the game. Some of his passes were downright he was throwing the ball to the wrong hand, as they say. Typically, you're supposed to throw the pass to the outside hand.
Particularly against Duke.
Against a team that crowds the offensive player off the ball the way Duke does. And the other thing is, I noticed at least on two jump shots, Sammy clearly was not squared up. It's like he thought the shot clock was going off, and that was not the case. And I think it was just an aberration. I think Sammy will come out firing Thursday night, and he'll be making his typical shots. And after all, he did make the big three ball against Miami late in that game, and
right.
He's certainly capable of doing that on a regular basis.
Well, you know, if you're a shooter, you always think the next one's going in. Unfortunately, the next one never came down at Durham for Sammy, but tough night for him.
John Tell
didn't score either, but, you know, he's not necessarily the points you get from John Tell are almost what I would call gravy points. You know, those are bonus points, but you certainly expect for this team to compete against the better teams in the ACC, Sammy's going to have to be productive from an offensive standpoint. And as you said in your opening remarks, Mike Scott had another terrific game. I think 16 of those 23 points in the first half where Duke was, I think you could tell Kay was a little frustrated that his kids couldn't keep Scott from scoring. And the thing about Mike Scott is a lot of his points in recent games have come from jump shots, not necessarily close into the basket, but more shots from 12 to 15 feet. And then, of course, late in the first half down at Durham, he made that three from the corner that gave Virginia the lead by, I guess they were up 4 points at the half. And then Duke came out in the second half and sort of had the Plumlee brother, one of Mason Plumlee, go down in the low blocks against Asan Sen. And, of course, Plumlee, you talk about a guy who can't make free throws. That poor kid was really struggling.
I think he was trying to join the Ryan Pettinella foul shooting club. I mean, some of those balls look like cinder blocks, the way they...
Yeah, I thought he was going to have to join a bricklayer's union by the time the game was over. You know, send him his union dues, because he was certainly putting up some bricks there at the free throw line. And, it really... Of course, his mechanics and technique are not the best, but, of course, the other factor is it's just in his head at this point in time. You know, free throw shooting is the mechanics and your stroke, but a lot of it is just confidence, and he has none at this stage, or certainly didn't the other night.
Why didn't we just keep fouling him? Call me crazy, but we were ahead by four. He got the ball like the first six or seven possessions the second half. He got the ball almost every time, and I thought Asan was not his usual he wasn't in his best position, and Plumlee's just too heavy for him anyway. But Asan just didn't have his feet set right, and Plumlee got those little jump hooks as close as he wanted, and that I thought that changed the momentum of the game.
Yeah, and between Asan Sen, Akil Mitchell, and Darian Atkins, right?
Yes.
You got 15 fouls.
Just hack that guy right out of the game. Yeah.
Put him at the free throw line.
Because, you know, it's funny, the other players for Duke, with the exception of one of those guards, I can't remember which one it was, they were not looking to shoot like they normally do, and the ones that did take shots took bad shots. They made some long shots in the second half, which I think a lot of times the coach would have said no, because I didn't see anybody from Duke under the basket.
Well, they actually, in the second half, they had some uncontested threes, which I'm sure Coach Bennett wasn't happy about, but... In the first half, Virginia just did a terrific job at contesting the perimeter shooters. You know, any time a guy, even guys that were maybe 3-4 feet beyond the three-point line, they were still shooting a shot late in the shot clock, and they had a hand in the face when they were doing it, and as a consequence, they didn't make very many of them.
Well, it's a basketball's a strange dynamic in that sometimes a three-ball overcomes all the other evils. I thought Virginia played some good defense, particularly in the first 24 seconds of the shot clock, and then Duke would find someone, and there literally would be no one from Duke under the basket. And they would get away with a long ball that rebounded long, like to the corner, and a Duke player would hustle over there and get it, and that would prolong the agony. But it just that's the way it is.
Well, and Duke, you know, how many times over the years have I seen them when they get a second chance opportunity, they make a three on you. It just breaks your heart, particularly, you know, when you play great defense for 35 seconds during the possession, you get them to take a contested shot, they miss it, and then you don't get the defensive rebound. You know, I used to say even on the broadcast that defense ends when you get the defensive rebound. It doesn't do you any good to play great defense if they get an offensive rebound and get a second opportunity. And Duke, more often than not, when that happens, they're burying a three on you somewhere. How many times did I see Shane Battier off an offensive rebound get an open look at the top of the key, and it was automatic from there for him?
You know, one thing that was enjoyable during the game, despite Virginia's difficulties in the second half to put the ball in the basket, just how angry Krzyzewski still gets. I'm not sure I've ever seen a coach I mean, he's almost pushing the limit of having a stroke, isn't he? I mean, he looks like he's grinding his teeth just to sawdust, and it's the camera zooms in on him all the time, and sometimes you wonder, is he enjoying basketball or not? I mean, looks painful.
You know, he's just such an intense competitor, and you have to give him credit. You know, what is this, 910 wins or whatever he's got, more than anybody in the history of Division I basketball, and he's been at it for probably 35 years, counting Duke and Army or something in that neighborhood, but he still goes out there, and he is an intense competitor, and he's a perfectionist. You know, he wants the execution on both offense and defense to meet his expectation, and if it doesn't, he's not going to be happy about it.
Well, you know, a final thought on the game. I liked Virginia's hustle defense. I love the never-say-die attitude. I love the fact that Virginia was able to steal the ball a number of occasions in the last 2 minutes, and I think it gives Virginia's players a lot of confidence that even against a very good team, and Duke is still a very good team, they can come back. They never gave up. And you know, if John Tell's shot at the buzzer goes in, they're in overtime, and I think in overtime Virginia would have had the momentum, and it would have been a Virginia victory. So,
well, the one thing you got to give them credit for is I think in that second half the maximum deficit was 10 points. But, you know,
I think it was nine.
It may have been 10. It was 8 once. I think it got to be 10. But regardless, I mean, in that situation in the past, there have been times where a Virginia team would have folded and you end up losing by 15 or 20. So you have to credit this team with just hanging in there, continuing to fight, and getting the game back to the point where they had at least an opportunity to make a shot at the end to force overtime. And had that happened, who knows? But came up empty, but now they got to focus on the game tomorrow night. So speaking of angry, how about Roy Williams down there at Florida State, huh?
You know that whole situation seems almost a little bit unprecedented, right? I mean, his team walks off the floor with the exception of the 5 scrubs that are in there taking care of mop-up duty. The fans are about to storm the court. It's Carolina's worst beating in God knows how long. Roy Williams, I know he was embarrassed by what was happening, but you know what happened to the handshake of the opposing coach and sportsmanship? And I'm not picking on Carolina. I'm a little surprised at Roy Williams because he's been around a long time. He's been very successful. He's won national titles. And that seemed like he lost a little bit of his something there. I mean,
Well, he probably lost a little bit of his composure and poise. I didn't see the end of the game exactly what happened. The only thing I can tell you is my guess is the practices down in Chapel Hill this week have been what we would call spirited. Because you never want to have your coach be angry. Because then, you know, I had a coach once that when he got irritated like that and wasn't happy, he would let the manager ceremoniously bring out the ball rack so that he could tell the managers, we won't need those today, which meant he was just going to run us into the ground just to show his frustration with the way we had played. But it'll be interesting to see Carolina tomorrow night in Blacksburg. You know, the Hokies 0-3, they desperately need a win. You know, Carolina's going to want to to get back on the right track. So it'll be after the Virginia game's over at 10 o'clock, the Who fans can switch over and watch the Tar Heels and the Hokies for the second half.
Two really exciting games. All right, we're going to head to break now. When we come back, we're going to do air probably the play of the game, sponsored by LeClaire Ryan, and talk about next week's show and cover the step up to the plate details. In the meantime, we'll ask that John hold the line, and we'll bring John on when we come back out of break. So stay with us here. This is Who's Talking. Frank Maloney with Jim Hobgood. This is Who's Talking. Glad that you're back. I think what we're going to do right now is jump to our LeClaire Ryan play of the game. And Hobbo is going to describe the play from this past week's game.
Yeah, at the end of the game, may not be the best play of the game because it wasn't successful for Virginia, but Cavs battled back, had an opportunity from the deep right corner. Mike Scott launched a three, kind of forced it. I couldn't tell, was that shot partially blocked or what happened? Because it almost looked like it hit the side of the backboard or something.
I watched the replay four times. It appeared that one of the Plumleys stepped out on Scott in the corner. I don't know. I don't think he touched the ball. I think Scott was deeper to the corner than he thought. It ricocheted off the very edge of the backboard.
Right, okay.
Went right to Jontel.
Yeah, goes to Jontel. Jontel out on the right wing. It was a great look for Jontel Evans, and, he might not have, certainly wasn't necessarily the guy you want taking that shot from three-point land because that's not his fort, as they say, or forte, as some say. Mm-hmm. But anyway, right, he drew iron, but no court, as they say. Game over, Dookie's escape. But certainly, I think, I don't necessarily believe in moral victories, but I think it certainly didn't hurt Virginia's credibility as a legitimate top-tier team in the ACC, by the way they performed down there at Cameron Indoor Stadium. So now, they got to pick things up tomorrow night against Georgia Tech and get back on the winning ways and go from there. Really a big week. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, and Boston College, next three games. All three are winnable. Two of the three are at home, so the Cavs need to get back and start another winning streak here.
All right, let's look at the schedule coming up real quick. Oh, yeah. Hold on, we forgot. We've got John holding. Let's bring John on the phone. John, are you there?
Hey, guys.
John, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your question or comment?
My comment was, first of all, the Duke game, I feel your pain on that. That was a good game. You guys, it seemed like you were up the whole first half, 4 or 5 points. They slowly took over, and you had to cut that last shot. I like Virginia, but I'm a Florida State fan. I can't remember the guy's name, but took that last shot. That ball was in the cylinder and had a decent chance. And to get two shots at a three at the end, that was a tough break.
Yeah, it was a tough break, and as Frank said, Mike Scott may not have had a great angle on that, and certainly the Plumlee, one of the Plumlee brothers came at him and made it a contested shot, and Jontel Evans, not ideally the guy. I mean, you'd much rather, it's too bad it didn't ricochet to, I'd rather, even at 0-8, I'd rather have Sammy Zaglinski take that shot, or certainly a Joe Harris, but Jontel, he put it up there, and maybe down the road he'll get another opportunity, one of those critical shots at the end of the game, and knock one down. But certainly a commendable effort by the Virginia basketball team last Thursday night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You guys were talking about Roy Williams and the non-playing players leaving the court. My take on that was that Coach Hamilton went over to Roy and said, hey, listen, we got about 8,000 raving maniacs that are going to storm the court. Get your guys, except for the five, you got to finish the game. Get everybody else the hell out of the way, because you and I know, what foolish things can happen when people storm the court like that. So I think he was taking Leonard Hamilton's advice for safety's sake, just so you know that.
Well, yeah. I hope that is the case. I haven't heard anything along those lines, so I'm gonna give Roy the benefit of the doubt, because I think he's always been a pretty good sportsman over the years, and we've been on the beating end side of UNC's terrific teams for the years. But when Virginia has beaten them, and I remember Todd Billett made a very unlikely, improbable three ball from 35 feet in old U-Haul, and the first thing Roy did in the post-game press conference is he complimented Todd, and he also mentioned he went over to Todd as the game ended and shook his hand and congratulated him. And that's the kind of guy that's the Roy Williams I'm aware of.
Todd Billett, just to reference that, Todd Billett had three of those shots.
But one of them was absurd. I mean, it was.
But North Carolina, Georgia Tech, and Clemson, he had three game winners or three balls in the last 10 seconds in that second half of that year. So
I think Pete Gillett owes him like $1 million.
In all candor, I think those three shots got Pete an extra year. I don't know that Pete would have survived that year had not Billett made those shots.
All right, John, we've got to go ahead.
One more thing. Trust me, I, along with all other ACC fans, can join in our dislike for Carolina, and it pains me to stick up for them and say they had a good reason to do that.
Well, we're going to cut him a little slack on that, but it was a very strange end to a game.
How many times do you storm the court after a 33-point win? I mean, that's a little bizarre, too.
Welcome to Tallahassee.
You know, Florida State had suffered a brutal late-game loss last year when Harrison Barnes drained
that three-ball.
And I think that's been bothering Leonard Hamilton and his players for a year. So they got a little revenge, didn't they?
Yeah, we did. Thanks for the time, guys.
All right, thanks for calling, John.
All right, we got about a minute, so let's quickly run through some of the scores and so forth real quick. It seems in recent days, NC State put the hurting on Wake. Duke edged Clemson. Maryland won by 11 over Georgia Tech. BC edged Clemson. Georgia Tech beat NC State. Boston College beat Virginia Tech, which I was very surprised by that score. Maryland lost to Florida State. In Florida State, we know about the big victory over UNC. And then also Maryland beat Wake fairly convincingly. Coming up tonight, Clemson plays at Miami. That's a big game, I think, in the conference. And then Thursday night, you know that Wake is at Duke, 7 p.m. Boston College is at NC State. That's 8 o'clock. UNC is at Virginia Tech at 9 o'clock. And then, of course, the good old Wahoos are playing at Georgia Tech down there in Phillips Arena at 8 p.m., and that's on the ACC Network. And Hubba, what stations do you think that's going to be on?
I think Comcast, Channel 251 on my cable's hookup at least. Then at Virginia Tech, you know, of course, Eric Green didn't play up at BC. I think they probably win that game if Eric Green plays.
Probably so true. It'll
be interesting to see if he's ready to go tomorrow night against the Tar Heels. But certainly the games tomorrow night, the Virginia-Georgia Tech and Virginia Tech-Carolina are the big ones tomorrow night. But anyway, we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back after these messages with Daily Press sports writer David Teal. Stay with us.